Da-na-da-na-da-na. This is where the intro music goes. Da-na-da-na.
But, and this butt is a big butt.
Ooh, I cannot lie.
Yeah, I like big butts. Yeah. That is a hot take, my friend. hot take. Num, 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 num. I'll eat that crow. Man, Cincy Stephen's going to get that.
What's up, everybody? You know what time it is. It is time for Grade A. I am Adam Wygant, along with Adam Kuhn, and we're back another time a day late. This time recording on I think it's Tuesday night instead of our usual Monday night. It was a little under the weather, but we are going to be here and we are going to recap the 1-1 draw, the road draw, the snatch of the 2 points at the death, Adam, is what we're going to cover tonight. But before we get into that, did you survive the big storms today?
Yep. Light stayed on. It was rainy, but how about you guys?
Yeah, nothing really. A lot of rain, thank goodness, because they were really talking about like this being terrible for everyone. But the lake is quite high right now. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen the water this high. So sure, there's a lot of localized flooding, as they like to say.
Right. Yeah. Took our street a while to drain for sure, but everything's good here. So.
All right. Well, speaking of good, I guess it's good because it wasn't great, right? I guess it was right. Just kind of okay. This game was like worse than okay for large stretches at times. But yeah, let's jump into this 1-1 draw. What do you say? You down?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's go down to the city named for a queen as FCC took on FC Charlotte. So we will start in the net, as we always do, Mr. Kuhn. Roman Celentano, is he going to jump out and get your man of the match on this one early? I thought he was big yet again.
I mean, he was very. He's not going to be my man of the match. I'll just let you off the hook early. But I did think he had he did what he had to do basically. The first save he had on Ajimom.
We'll go with Agyebang.
Agyebang. Ajibang.
Agyemon.
They got a lot of
names up there that I can't pronounce.
I know. I tried to spell it out phonetically, and I'm like, nope. I should have done it the original way. Anyhow,
their
striker. Did well to close him out over the top. Another time later, the PK, he bit right and it was straight up the middle, so that was a little bit of a. But I do think that for as much as we criticize his distribution, I thought his distribution was great. In this game, it was over 90% passing, I think 94-95% passing, 3 of 5 on his long balls. He was perfect on everything, even shorter, medium range. So, yeah, I thought he played a really pretty great game. Unfortunate not to get the shutout in this one, yep. But I gave Roman Celentano a 7.0.
Yeah, I thought he was unfortunate. Both with the PK and like just losing the shutout on something like that. But this defense has shown to be very, very good. So let's get into the rest of the outfield players and to start by talking about the defense. Pat Noonan coming out in the 3-4-2-1. Right? 3-4-2-1. Yep. Uh-huh. As opposed to the other one that I like. But hey, we're still getting results. So the back three shuffled kind of, I guess, the return of a familiar face in Nick Hagelin getting the start over both Ian Murphy and Kip Keller. But we start on the left side with Miles Robinson. Just another Miles Robinson game, huh?
Yeah. This is a really, really nice game. I mean, had one sequence where he was like an absolute last man and just simple as you please, just made the play, tackled the guy, no problem. Had 3 interceptions, which led the team. He had 2 recoveries, 4 clearances, which tied him for the team lead. He was another, typical solid self going forward, 93% passing, 6 of 9 on his long balls. I mean, it's just, he's just mistake free. He didn't get called on quite as much as the guy. It seemed like I think Charlotte was trying to attack where he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So he tended to be a little quieter. When he switched sides at halftime, all of a sudden he was on the quiet side over there. So, solid game from him. I gave Miles Robinson a 7.0.
It's difficult to rank them or rate them when you know they're being avoided, right? You know what I mean? Right. Like, we ran into this, I think, a few times last year where guys just don't, they're just avoided sometimes. So, that happened to Yerson a time or two. But, Miles Robinson getting that treatment. But I'll take it. I'll take a back line of center backs that the other team want to avoid. So let's move over to the center. I said it was a typical Miles Robinson game. Was it a typical Matt Miazga game?
Yeah, fairly typical. I mean, I will say I thought he had a couple of miscues, but he was certainly busier. He had a really bad pass that led to an immediate shot that was wide. I will say I thought kind of the recurring theme of this, like a lot of our fans were really bemoaning our inability to finish. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to be a Charlotte fan.
Oh man. Yeah. Because they had some chances.
They had chances that, and they were just like wide or like way high. I mean, it's one thing, like, we've missed some chances, but holy smokes. They let us off the hook a lot in this game. That was one where just a really bad pass out of the back. He does get beat over the top by Ajimon like a couple of times. Roman saves one. The second one, Ajimon puts it just wide. Had a hard time with Capetti over the top once. Where he was able to leave it off for Abada for a dangerous shot. It was just like, I felt like he got picked on a little bit more often than he usually does. But at the end of the day, they didn't have that much on goal, he was just effective enough. Yes, there were struggles, but he was able to, weather the storm more times than not. He had 3 tackles, 2 of them he won. He was 89% passing. Like, he won 5 of his 7 duels. Like, yes, there were problems, but overall, I thought it was a pretty solid game from him. So I gave Matt Miazga a 7.0.
All right. He is running mates with Miles Robinson for the lead in the back. The return of Nicky Man Bun, the return of the Cincinnati Kid. There's a chant for him, too, that I'm not going to do because this is a family-friendly show. But, Adam, Nick Hagelin, Nick Hagelin is back. He gets the start, gets 45 minutes, probably getting back into game shape. Does he become CB3? And I'll ask for your rating on this game too.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know that it matters, because I think we're going to be rotating sometimes, and we're obviously going to be without Robinson for a bit.
Right. I mean, I do think that I would guess that Hagelin probably ends up.
He's probably the most trusted of the three, right?
Exactly. Like, I just think he's just the senior man at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that's 3 senior men on that back line. Like, if you think about it, like,
exactly.
Experience and big games and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, I thought, You know, I thought Haglund in this game, I thought he had some moments where he was shaky. Certainly he was the busier in the half. You know, he had four clearances in the half, and that those four clearances were enough to tie him for the team lead for the game. He won all three of his duels. He was 91% passing. Like I thought he had some really nice moments. He had a really nice defense on Adjamon, but then loses them on the second one. The second one was Roman's nicest save of the game. Mm-hmm. Really their best chance. And that was in large part on Haglund. He also gets caught out a bit on the first Charlotte shot, but it gets shot over. So you know, there were just a couple times where he was caught out just a bit, and did have a really nice but very important stop in the box. So you know, the had some good moments too. I gave Nick Haglund a 6.5.
All right. Do you want to do Ian Murphy right away since they split the half, or did you rate Ian?
I did rate Ian. Yeah.
You want to throw him in? We'll finish the back line. All right.
Sure. So yeah, I thought Ian looked a little shakier. I thought that his yellow card on Abada was really kind of unnecessary and deserved, and it was really in kind of gave them a really nice look at goal from a dangerous free kick spot. He had a really poor touch and back pass to Roman. He did have a block shot. He did also have two interceptions. It wasn't all bad, but I did think that he had a few moments where you know he looked inexperienced. I gave Ian Murphy a 6.0.
All right. So solid all the way around for that back line as it continues to be the strength of this team. So let's move into the midfield then for across one major change. Again, Obi out with injury, but he did see time in this game. And then Kubo gets the start in his place. But we start over on the left side, Luca Orellano.
Nice. That's nice.
I knew you'd appreciate that, right?
I know. I'm not going to say it anywhere near that well. Luca Orellano.
Let's talk about how good he was on the field.
Yeah, he was good on the field. I mean, I will say that the first 15 minutes were tough on both our wingbacks. I thought Charlotte early kind of took advantage of how far forward our wingbacks were playing, but we were not in turn taking advantage of how far forward our wingbacks were playing, if that makes any sense. To his credit, that's you know, when you listen to Tommy on the radio, that he talks to Pat Noonan at halftime, and Pat's usually pretty forthcoming with like strategy. And he was like, yeah, we need to get these guys forward. Like they're open. We can really take advantage of this. And so in the second half, you saw a lot more from Luca and you saw a lot more from Yedlin. Early on, yes, I thought he had some issues with Byrne. Had a really nice run and pass to Baird though for Baird's one shot on goal. He also drew a yellow on another one I have trouble with, the French guy. Sees a lot of the ball on the left. I mean, he is kind of the one who. You know, he's taking on the Barrial role. So, I mean, that seems to be the left side seems to be the route we go most of the game. So, you know, his statistics kind of show from that. So he has seven shot creating actions, which you know, puts him well into second on the team. Six progressive carries, which is first on the team. He has four key passes, which ties him for first. He had a really nice shot from distance. That was a tricky save for Kalina. I just thought all around Luca, you know, he played just a pretty dangerous game, but didn't really have the results to show for it at the end of the day. I gave him, Luca Orjano a 7.0.
That was very, very good. Yeah, this guy, he just continues to impress and get better in a short period of time. You know, just think what he's going to be with another 10 games with this group under his belt. So, all right, let's go to the center. So Pavel Buka, because I was watching one of the FCC videos and I think twice the players said Pavel instead of Pavel. So I'm going with Pavel from here on out. Did he have the most Junior Moreno game ever? Meaning you hardly noticed he was there. He had super high passing percentages probably, but most of them were either side to side or backwards.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of true. I mean, it was a, I mean, there are parts of his game that just bother the heck out of me. I mean, he is.
Go on.
I mean, I don't know. He's just kind of a, like he's a bit soft to be playing a defensive midfield. I just don't like his dual numbers are always just terrible. Like it's just not, like he just doesn't commit himself like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, is he really the defensive midfielder? I mean, if typically that's going to be Obi, and then sure. Kubo was probably playing more of that role in this one, don't you think?
Sure, but I mean, still, like if you're an eight, you want a guy that's like got a little bit of like, you know,
he's got to have some bite to him,
right? You know, and it's just like. And that's why, like I just kind of wish he was playing a little further forward. It wouldn't bother me as much. But, yeah, he was one of seven on duels. He was one of five on his attempted dribbles. Like, I mean, he kind of would try things, and they not really work out all that well. But, you know, like you said, I mean, he is actually a pretty efficient passer. You know, he is pretty calm on the ball. He did have six progressive passes, which is honestly better than a Junior Moreno number. He had seven recoveries, which led the team. I mean, you know, like he was involved enough, but you know, it's just like I just wish there was just a little more like edge to his game. Yeah. I gave Pavel Buka a 6.5.
He just doesn't feel dangerous.
Right. Right.
He just feels like, I don't know, that whatever that safe thing is that you just know, hey, that's just, it's just going to be there. It's like that old hat up on the shelf.
Well, yeah. Like he just
know what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think offensively he has, like he brings something to the table, but like defensively, like he's got kind of this like Breck Shea sort of, you know, and I love Breck, but I mean, this kind of like, I'll put my foot out, but
not really committing to it.
Yeah. Like,
well, I would argue too that offensively, I don't think that he's been as dynamic as maybe we thought he would be. So,
right.
But maybe that comes in time. Cause again, like we're assimilating not only these players to each other, but to a new league. So, you know, six games in.
Right. And I do think there's a bit of fine tuning to all of this that's like, once it comes together a bit more, it'll look a lot better.
All right. Speaking of looking good, Yu Yakubo.
I mean, Yuya did do a lot of things right, but man, did he do one thing wrong. I mean,
I thought it was a little soft, man, but put yourself in that position.
Exactly. Like that's like, I mean, yes, the guy sold it. Does it get called every time? No. But like once it was called, was it going to get overturned on VAR? Also, no. Like there wasn't nothing, you know, and the guy went down and kind of forced a call and, mm-hmm. You know, in a pretty unnecessary position to make that kind of a play. So, you know, yeah, like Kubo did a lot of good things. Like he won both of his tackles. He had two interceptions. He was 6 of 9 on his duels. He had recoveries. He did all the things. Had a really dangerous long shot through a crowd that forced a tricky save by Kalina. But all that to say, like, there's nobody but Yuya Kubo holding the bag for the Charlotte goal. So I ended up giving him a 5.5.
Yeah, that's probably is deserved, because you can't, for as many good things as you can do, you do one dumb thing like that. So, all right, fair on you. Yeah, let's finish this out. I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say about DeAndre Yedlin, not the least of which was that amazing touch in the 90 whatever minute, just laying it back to Boop, who, you know, made it closer than it needed to be, maybe, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But DeAndre Yedlin, running till the end, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, full credit to him. I mean, I will say that this is one of those games that I kind of saw through a spectrum of how sometimes I grade Lucho for you know, moments of brilliance, and you know, I've criticized Yedlin for not really bringing it offensively. I thought this was by far his best game offensively. I thought, like Pat Noonan said at halftime, like, we got to work it up to these guys. We got to get it forward to these guys. And DeAndre Yedlin had 13 progressive receptions, which is like, sometimes Lucho gets double digit in that category, but we haven't had, and Oriano, or Jano, had 12. and so, like, between the two of them, they had 25 progressive receptions, and a lot of those were coming from Lucho. So it was like kind of the inverse of what we usually do. And and Yedlin was up to the task. I did think that I thought. He had some problems defensively early. He got beat 1v1 a couple times, once he got switched into the offense of the game, I thought he kind of came alive. Had a nice late run and cross in to Bupenza just before the penalty kick goal. Had a nice run back and won a ball on a break. He did really get beat pretty badly by Vargas on the far post. Vargas missed the net on that break. But then right at the end of the game, just the touch was a thing of magic. I mean, we're not going to talk. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll talk about it in subs, but yeah, like the starters, most of the starters were not part of that goal. The guys we talk about all the time, like, they weren't a part of that. The only guys in that chain were Yedlin and Bupenza, and Yedlin's part was fantastic. It was, you know, the assisting goal, just a really, really sick little touch. Yedlin had 4 shot creating actions. Coming into this game, he had 1 for the year. He had 4 in this game. He had 6 recoveries, which put him second on the team. You know, a really great number, frankly, for a wing back to win the ball back that many times. Just for the moment of magic, though, you get a little extra. So I gave DeAndre Yedlin an 8.0. He was my man of the match.
Oh yeah. I can't blame you. I mean, I think that a best case scenario, and maybe there's a little bit better, but you know, I think most FCC fans were thinking that this was like the best case DeAndre Yedlin that you're getting. Maybe he's getting more comfortable with it. I just appreciated the fact. And again, you know, if you watch the replay, he basically makes a 60-yard run, like dead sprint 92nd minute to the near post, like just a heady play by an extremely experienced player. And yeah, you can see it coming together both for both of our wings, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll say this about DeAndre Yedlin. I mean, I mean the guy hustles. I mean, and that's always been his thing. Like, I mean, he does like God bless him. Like it's not always effective. Like he had his struggles in Miami. I mean, his struggles, but it wasn't for lack of trying. And I mean, you know, there's a reason teams make him a captain, because I mean, he's a guts player, and you know, he's a vibes guy, and he's hard, you know, it's nice when it comes off for him.
Yep. Really nice. And even better for us, because then we rescue the point. So let's move to the midfield. I don't like this two-man midfield. I understand it, and it really doesn't play like this, but just from a podcasting standpoint, I'd much rather just finish with both strikers. But I guess, you know, Pat Noonan wants to do Pat Noonan things. So we'll start with Lucho. He was in the mix for the most part, like you said. I think he probably could have a couple of his touches or ideas back. Maybe there was an easier ball to play here and there, but overall I thought it was a kind of a Lucho game. Did you see it the same?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought Lucho was pretty fantastic in this game, but
yeah.
But also I can't really point to one play that, you know, made a difference one way or the other. You know? Like he was constantly involved. He was, I thought, effective. I thought that the people around him let him down a lot.
Right. Common theme.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. Like that's the, you know, I think Lucho could have had plenty of assists in this game. Had things gone differently. He had 15 progressive passes. Like I said, a lot of those were kind of him dropping deep and then bombing it up to the wings. He had 4 key passes, which tied him for first. He had 5 progressive carries, which put him in second. But he had 12 shot creating actions in this game.
Ah, that's like normal Lucho. Come on.
Yeah, but it's like he had 12.
No, it's not. He usually doesn't have that many. But yeah.
He usually doesn't. You're right. Usually it is like 8 to 10.
Right.
12 shot creating actions first by far. Yeah. Orjano had 7 for second. And then I think Yedlin was third with 4. And that, I mean, that just shows just like how much, you know, Lucho does. But like out of all those shots, like what did we have to show for it? Nothing. Right. I thought Lucho did very well, but what does he have to show for it? Nothing. 7.5 for Lucho.
All right. Well, if you're going to nothing your way into a 7.5, you're a pretty damn good player. And that kind of fits what Lucho is. So I'm not going to segue off of that into Corey Baird, but I'm going to Corey Baird.
I mean,
next.
I was going to say, you can segue the heck out of that, because here it comes.
I'll let you take it where I know you're going to take it.
Yeah, here's how you do nothing and get a bad score. I mean, he did have a really good chance in the 26th minute. You know, Kalina pushes it out. But I mean, like, dang, dude, like 18 touches in the game, no recoveries, 1 of 3 on duels. I mean, you know, he was not getting involved in any way, shape, or form. I mean, kind of ghosting it on defense. Like, it was, you know, shades of Alan Cruz. I gave Corey Baird a 5.0.
Wow. Quick and to the point.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I complimented Yedlin for busting ass until the end, so I got to do the same thing for Boop. So let's finish out the starting 11 with him. Your starting striker gets the goal in the 92nd minute to half the points. I guess not really half in the points, but to half the spoils. I thought overall, again, like, I just feel like Boop, like, he's either a half step, a quarter step, either too slow, too fast. The ball's getting caught under him. Like, he's just not clean with it yet. And, you know, streaky strikers, right? But maybe this one gets him off the schneid a little bit. Although, like I said, Adam, he put that ball awfully close to those two defenders. He didn't need to do that.
I mean,
he probably wanted to for the flair, right? That would be a good thing to do, right?
Yeah, I don't. You know, hey, he's. You pay him to put it in the back of the net. He put it in the back of the net. I mean, you know, I mean, it is like, I mean, you're absolutely right. And it's also like, it's hard not to like the guy, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like he does not get like, you know, Baird, I said, had 18 touches. I mean, Boupin's only had like 26 or something like that. 20, 28, 20, and you know, and he played the whole game. You know, he wasn't much more involved, but I had way more notes on like what he did. I mean, he had a really nice job finding some space in the box. Couldn't quite get enough on a shot on that cross from Yedlin right before they scored. He gets a yellow after that, you know, after he kind of takes exception to the Milanda challenge on him. You know, not a great yellow, admittedly. But you know, just his awareness in injury time, just to kind of, you know, find his spot and just kind of know where the ball's going, and you know. Like you said, did he have to put it so close to the defenders? Nah. but you know, it's in the back all the same, you know, and then after that, he had like another like crazy dangerous looping shot that Kalina had to save after that, even later. So, but yeah, like, you know, Boupin's also has numbers like he wins 3 of 14 duels.
Those feet are expensive.
Yeah, and like 57% passing, and like, you know,
0% on headers, by the way.
Yeah. You know, leads the team in missed touches, and you know, well, it's always going to be him and Lucho, or almost always. So, but you know, it's just like so many of his statistics are just kind of like. You know, it's the same stuff, you know, Vasquez people would get freaked out about. But, you know, it's like guy gets paid.
That's the experience.
He gets paid to score goals. He scored a goal. I gave Aaron Boupin's a 6.5.
All right. Well, let's recap the 11 that went down. Actually, we'll do 12 that went down to a very hot Charlotte team, if we're being honest, like definitely outperforming expectations and certainly not looking like, although I've yet to find a slouch in the East, besides maybe New England. But anyway, go down and split it 1-1. So in the net, Roman Celentano, he gets a 7. The back line starts with Miles Robinson with a 7. Miazga then with a 7. Nick Haglund makes his first start of the season, gets a 6-5. He is replaced at halftime by Ian Murphy, who nets a 6 from Mr. Kuhn. The midfield, Luca Orellano from Argentina. That's how we say it down there. A 7.0. Pavel Buca, because that's how people on the team say it, gets a 6.5. Yuya Kubo, one big mistake, 5.5. And your Adam Kuhn, man of the match, DeAndre Yedlin with a solid 8.0. Lucho gets the 7.5 because it's just another Lucho game. And Baird gets a 5 because that apparently is a Corey Baird game. And Boupenza with the late winner nets a 6.5. Add it all up, Adam, 1-1, still top of the East. Play until the death. This team never feels like they're out of it. Just, you got to be happy coming away with at least one out of this, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I especially because it seemed like we were not going to get at least one out of this for the longest right. time. So, I mean, frankly, you know, there haven't been, we did not outplay them flat out, you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. I won't say necessarily we didn't deserve a draw, but we did not outplay them. If anything, they outplayed us. So I thought it was a close game. I thought it was a competitive game, but they had their chances, but they are way more frustrating. Like if I was a Charlotte fan, I would be like, oh my God, we cannot finish anything because those guys. And so I think that's kind of my takeaway from this game is like everybody's offense looks like dog crap at the beginning of the year. That's why, you know, I mean, this happened last year. This is why, you know, Roman got off to the start that he did with all the shutouts at the beginning of the year because it's hard for teams to get their offenses on the same page. It's a lot easier, especially when you have like a group of experienced defenders like we have, to just kind of fall in and you know your roles and it, you know, we can make it hard on teams to score right now that don't you know, have their proverbial stuff together. So you know, this is our time of the year. We got to win a lot of 1-0 games and hopefully we start doing that more and more.
I do feel like that. You know, I know you said it's easier for defenses to play at a higher level in the beginning of the year. I do think in at least 4 of our games, the other team's keeper has played out of his mind.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
I feel like looking at some of the performances that have been put in against this team, like I think even with just an average performance from a keeper, we probably have 1 or 2 more wins.
Well, sure. And you know, this is the thing. That's just the difference between this year and last year is last year. We just kind of got, we, you know, scored on a lot. You know, we did catch these guys on normal nights and mm-hmm. beat them 1-0. And this year, you know, we're drawing nothing. And so, you know, I just think that's why it's, that's why it's hard to be a supporter shield, you know, winners, you know, there's just a lot of luck to it.
Right. Right. All right. Well, let's talk about some subs. Cause, you had mentioned it earlier and I think there were at least some contributions to mention here. So, we talked about Ian Murphy. The next, guy that got the most minutes was Obi. So if you want to add anything about him or the two gentlemen involved in the goal.
Yeah. I thought Obi looked pretty sharp. Did get, you know, kind of a silly yellow, but,
it's a very silly yellow.
Right. Not great on that, but I thought Obi did look pretty sharp. I'm you know, anxious to see him
they're gonna need him.
Yeah. Right. You know, I'm ready to get him back in the lineup you know, post haste. On the goal, you know, the Halsey winning the ball, getting it up to Dotto making a really nice play up to Santos and Santos, you know, to his credit, equally nice drop off to Yedlin as Yedlin's drop off to Pupenza. Like just, you know, had the right weight for him to do something like that. So, you know, Every one of those guys on that play, we've had 2 weeks in a row now where we have just had absolute, you know, great like 5-man goals where it's just, you know, boom, 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 score. And when you can start doing that, you know, you're unstoppable.
Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. What do we got now? We got Red Bulls at home. I mean, this is a big early season game. We're sitting on, I want to say 12, right? Yeah, we're sitting on 12 mm-hmm. in first, and New York's sitting right there at 11. So, I mean, this is an early, this is a 6-point swing.
Right. And, you know, I will say that this is, I think that this is the test here.
Yeah.
you know, I think Red Bull has come out. You know, they have a lot of their same group back, and they look cohesive, and they've looked solid. So, you know,
they're scoring.
Exactly. Like they have shown that they, you know, that they might not be the most talented team in the league, but they are clicking. So I think that this will be, you know, in front of our fans, you know, this will be the true test of what our defense is and, you know, what we can actually do offensively.
All right. Well, we'll be here to talk about it. That's for sure. I do have to miss the game this weekend, Adam. It is my son Jake's 21st birthday.
Oh, man.
I know. Shout out to Jake. Finally.
Shout out.
I can stop buying his beer now that he's legal.
Oh, man.
Save myself.
Proud dad.
Saves myself some money in the Bailey pregame. My God, it was getting out of hand. Poor Jimmy. Jimmy the beer guy just kept bringing them to us. What am I supposed to do? But we'll be celebrating his 21st this weekend. The weather looked like it was going to be nice a few days ago, and now it looks like it's going to be meh. But do that, and then we got the big eclipse on Monday. So
that's
gonna
right.
It's going to be a weekend, bro.
It is going to be a weekend. We'll see.
Maybe actually, we won't be here to talk about it because
true. Yeah,
if you read the socials, man,
might be Tuesday.
When's the earthquake? The earthquake comes on Tuesday. When is that? Yeah. I don't know. Big earthquake and some other stuff. So
and cats living together.
It's gonna be confusing. So kind of like Columbus's relationship with their best player, something like that. I don't know. Be gone. He's gone. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Thanks guys for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back to bring it all to you after the Red Bull game. But until then, we sit atop the Eastern Conference on 12 points after 6 games. You guys, we're all sitting back thinking how frustrating this team has been to watch, yet we are still in first place. So we will be here to bring you the results of every game going forward. So for Grade A, I am Adam Wygand saying Prost.
And I am Adam Kuhn. Happy birthday, Jake.
It's picking back up.
Yeah. Sounded like you were about to start saying Ghostbusters.
No, I heard that new movie's terrible.
I've heard that as well. Too bad. I kind of like the first remake they did, but
yeah, the first remake ended up not being too shabby.
Yeah.
You see they're having a there's rumors it's going to be a Happy Gilmore part 2. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
For real? Yeah. They're working, supposedly, they're starting to work on a script.
R.I.P. Joe Flaherty, then.
I know, right? Is that Chubbs? Yeah. I'm assuming that was Chubbs?
No, that was the guy that he was like the
heckler. Oh, yeah. Chubbs was, Apollo
Weathers.
Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weathers. Yeah. What am I thinking? Chubbs. Yeah. God. Dummy.
Yeah, Joe Flaherty was like the heckler. He was on like SCTV and stuff.
Oh yeah, okay, the big tall dude, like the monstrous guy.
Okay. No, not that guy.
Oh no, God, I'm gonna get there eventually, Adam. I swear. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, the guy that got paid the money or whatever, and then like wanted to go to Sizzler or something. Wanted to go get dinner at Sizzler.
Ooh. Sorry, hydrating.
Ah, no, you're fine. I might have to go get myself a beer, honestly. I may leave you on the mic by yourself. Were you a Adam Sandler fan?
I mean, I probably wasn't as big of an Adam Sandler fan as most of my friends were, but. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy an Adam Sandler movie, but there are some of the quote unquote classics that I've never really cared for much. But
okay, here you know where we're going now. We're down the Adam Sandler movie rating. we've gone down the hole. So
yeah. So well, I mean, Yeah, there's a, like, I do like a Happy Gilmore. I like Billy Madison a lot.
That's hilarious.
Let's see. Oh, like, you know, then there's some other ones that I think are just kind of okay, like Waterboy. I was never a big fan of.
Don't you dare say The Wedding Singer.
Oh no, I like The Wedding Singer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, sorry. That's definitely top tier.
Yeah.
That might be his best.
Yeah, that or I do like something about, is it Something About Mary? No. What's the one? No. Yeah. No, that's not him, is it?
That's Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Oh, 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore. That was
right. Yeah, no, it's still, yeah.
It's more of a, but that's more chick flick Sandler than like Grown Ups, which actually Grown Ups is probably my favorite, being a 50-year-old dude like Grown Ups is.
See, now, yeah, that's one that I'm like, yeah, that's all right. That's
okay. Nah,
yeah.
Grown Ups. Anyway.
I'm way more like a Will Ferrell kind of a guy.
See, I am not. Will Ferrell is just not my thing. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, Anchorman, blah blah." I'm like, it's
oh,
just
yeah.
not.
Mm-hmm.
He,
Anchorman, definitely.
If he doesn't have the physical aspect, he is just not very funny.
Don't care.
Don't think he's very funny. That's all right.
Yeah.
Plus, he owns part of LAFC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's your sworn enemy at this point.
Well, yeah. I like the it's the Jack Nicholson aspect. I don't mind the Hollywood is behind Major League Soccer to some extent. It's got to be cool or else it's going to flounder out there.
All right. Well, let's flounder in our pregame, postgame talk.
All right.
No longer. Let's get into this. You ready?